So we are holding on Lamed Aleph on the days 10 lines from the bottom, line begins over here, on 2 dots. We discussed yesterday with the whole story with Hannah. We talked about her tefillah because we said we learned from her tefillah and from the various psukim surrounding it, a number of different dinim. And the Gemara in between learning dinim from it, the Gemara was gaushing and various psukim from it. So here's another one. The pasuk is v'chana himid aberes al liba. It says Hannah was speaking on her heart. Now, if it just meant that she's speaking within her heart, then it would have said el-libar or lil-libar or something. So what does it mean? It means she's talking about something involving her heart. It means she's talking about something regarding her heart. Everything that you, Hashem, created in a woman or in a person in general, you didn't create anything useless. A naim liver. You created eyes that a person should be able to see. Vaz naim mashmaya, ears to hear, choy to mahariach, a nose to be able to smell, peladaber, a mouth to be able to speak, a gayim masas behem alocha, a hand to do work with, raglayim mahalas behem, feet to be able to walk with, and gadim mahonik behem. And you created, Hashem, in a woman, you created breasts that she should be able to nurse with. Gadim alolosh, and a sata al libi, lama. So what's the purpose? You put breasts on my heart, this is al liba, on my heart. Lama, what for? Loyla onik behen. Didn't you give them in order that I should be able to nurse with them? Tainly bane, but onik behen. So give me a baby and let me be able to nurse it with it. That was part of
the connection with the fact that it's on the heart.
Well, we learned earlier in the first parak that David HaMelech praised Hashem for the fact that Dadim are b'mekayim bina, that unlike with animals where the udders are lower down on the body, by a human being, Hashem put them in the place of understanding. But the point is, that's how it is. In a human being, that's where they are. And therefore, she's talking about this that is on top of my heart, what are they there for if not to nurse a baby? But Amunah B'lazim Hashem Rav Yosi Ben Zimra. Then, okay, so we quoted before something that Rav Elazar said in the name of Rav Yosi Ben Zimra. So now another one, even though it's not directly related, to what we said before. Kol Yoshev B'Tainis B'Shabbos, somebody who fasts on Shabbos, Kurim like Zardina Shoshivim Shana. In the course of that, even if there was a Zardin on him that for his entire life of 70 years, he's going to have difficulties, he's going to have hardships, then a fast on Shabbos takes that away. Rashi explains, because a fast on Shabbos is like more severe than on the other days, on the ground that on other days, okay, you're fasting, fine. Some other people are fasting also. They're not eating because they're too busy. Yeah, a fast, by definition, a fast is the whole day, but 1 second. What we're saying over here, like this, everybody else is enjoying their Shabbos meal, and he's not, so therefore, like it makes the difficulty and the pain of it even greater, and therefore he deserves extra schar for it. Therefore he deserves an extra thing that it breaks up exogen, even if there was exogen on him for 7 years. Toitzah says, we're not just talking about any kind of fast. We're not talking about a fast for truva or something. Primarily what we're talking about over here, Toitzah says, is a tainus cholam. Tainus cholam, elsewhere the Gemara talks about, that a person had a bad dream, he fasts the next day in order to daven to Hashem, and he says Amenu, and so forth, and this way that Hashem should tear up the Gzardin if that dream portended that something no good was going to happen to him, then this way it takes that away. So, and the point is, the Gemara elsewhere talks about that you have to fast on the next day after the dream. It doesn't help it. You have the dream, and then 3 days later you fast. So therefore, if he had such a dream Friday night, then he's going to fast on Shabbos.
Shabbos is an exception.
That's the thing. So even though normally you don't fast on Shabbos, but here, because of the tainus cholam, it's an exception. Continues very much.
What do you mean?
No, in other words, usually you wouldn't fast on Shabbos, but in this case, because he had a bad dream Friday night, and he wants to break up the gzardin, so that's what we're saying. So therefore,
one second.
Nevertheless, though, the end is going to be that Hashem is going to pay him back for the fact that he missed out on Onik Shabbos. So my pakante, what does he do in order to fix that up? Let him fast on a weekday to make up for the fact that he fasted on Shabbos. Ideally, it should be the next day, the Rashi says. If he can't do that the next day, then fine, it can be some other day. But yes, that is the halacha as it is in Shulchan Aruch, that a person can fast a tainus cholam on Shabbos. Primarily, it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, what we're talking about is where the person is so upset by the dream The Alter Rebbe talks about this, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, where he's so upset by the dream that for him, not eating that Shabbos is going to be more of an onig Shabbos than eating, because then he's allowed, because like he's in such a bad mood because of the dream that therefore he's allowed to. Nevertheless, because the fact is you're not supposed to fast on Shabbos and you're missing out on onig Shabbos, therefore later on he needs to fast again and ask Hashem to be moichel him for the fact that he did miss out the regular onig Shabbos. Also, Rav Elazar said, getting back to Chana hiticha dvarim klape maila. Chana hurled words, threw words towards Hashem. In other words, she talked very, very sharply and with a little bit of lack of derech eretz to Hashem. Shenem avatispalo al Hashem. As the pasuk says, she davened on Hashem. Usually the expression would be, you davened to Hashem. So malamad, hiticha dvarim klape maila. So what's the hatachas dvarim? So we said yesterday about how she was saying that if you don't give me a child, then I'm going to go through the whole social procedure and you're going to be forced to. There was also what she just said now about that, what did you create breasts for, if not, what did you create me with breasts for, if not that I should be able to nurse
them. She didn't have children too.
Fine, we don't find any nusach of a tefillah of Sarah. We find the nusach of a tefillah of Hannah's, and since the pasuk says that she follows al Hashem, so we're saying that she talked like with a little bit of a lack of derech eretz towards Hashem. Now, she's not punished for it because, I mean, ain't not a mitzvah b'shach fire. You don't hold a person to account for what they said when they're in pain, and she was in tremendous pain. But still, the Gemara wants us to know that these kinds of things that she said are usually not appropriate to say. Like, it's follow al Hashem.
No, but you don't.
Latiach dvarim klapei maila. It's called like hurling words against Hashem. In other words, we learned a couple of days ago. We learned that when a person is davening, he should be davening at the end of the previous parak. We said a person should be davening b'loshem tachanunim, like a beggar standing at the door, not like the demands. And here it's like, so to speak, she's making demands. You do this, or I'm going to do that.
Hold someone accountable in terms of distress.
For saying something, you don't hold a person. You don't hold against the person what they said when they were distressed. All right, let's go on. But Amar of Elazar Eliyahu itiach dvarim klapei maila. We also find that Eliyahu Anovi did the same thing, that he hurled words of accusation at Hashem. Shenem. One second, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu soon. You find by the on Harat Hamel where Eliyahu says that Eliyahu asks Hashem to answer him with a fire, and he says, "You Hashem have turned their hearts backwards," meaning that was like so to speak, he's accusing Hashem that you made it possible for the people to do Averis, and that's why we have to have this whole public demonstration so they should realize that you're the true Hashem and not Baal. But we see like he's accusing Hashem like you made it possible. The fact is, Hashem did create the Yetzirah. Amar of Shmuel Barabit. So, minayin shechazer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vahoyd eloy l'Eliyahu. In fact, where do we see that Hashem ended up agreeing with Eliyahu? Dichtib, because you have a pasuk elsewhere in Tanakh, in Micha. Ba'asher harei oisi. Hashem says, the beginning of that pasuk talks about that Hashem says, I'm going to gather together all the Jewish people from Golos, even the ones who are lame and dispersed, meaning not just lame begashnius, but also beruchnius. And the ones that I did bad to, meaning in other words, Hashem is saying, so to speak, yeah, I caused this whole thing to happen because I created the Yetzer Hara. Had I not created the Yetzer Hara, then they wouldn't be in this situation. Well, they wouldn't be in this situation. In fact, Maharsha says, it's not that Hashem is totally agreeing with Elio, but Hashem is saying, at least, you know, they're fine. That at least provides a little justification. So like when the Jewish people are being brought in front of the base of Shamayla, then, okay, you know, they have at least some excuse. The fact is Hashem created us with a Yetzer Hara. Yeah. And in fact, Amar of Chama Brev Chanina, Yomale Sholosh Mikroyot Halalu, if it were not for the following three psukim, which all teach us in various ways that Hashem is the one really who controls things, that Hashem created our Yetzer Hara, and Hashem is able to take it away, if it weren't for those three psukim, Nismoti Turagleim Sholsoni Yisrael, the feet of the enemies of the Jewish people, the usual euphemism, meaning the Jewish people, would have stumbled. In other words, we would have no justification at all in front of the bar of justice in the base in Shamayla. Like this, at least these still can provide us with a little bit of a justification. See, one is this passage that we just quoted, where Hashem says, "I did bad by creating the Yetzer Hara." That's a passage in Micha. The second one is a pasuk in Yirmiya, like clay in the hands of a potter, so you are in my hands, house of Yisrael. So in other words, Hashem is saying, we say, appear based on that, on Yom Kippur night. So the point is, in other words, that Hashem controls everything. Hashem can mold us as he wishes, and he chose to mold us this way. So again, that gives us a little bit of an excuse. It's not a total excuse. The Beis Din Shamayim will still say to a person, you know, you have a Yetzer Hara, your job is to overcome it. But nevertheless, at least it gives a little bit of, at least it gives something to stand. It gives a leg to stand on. The Chabdichtiv, and the third one of the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Vasiyotiyas Leva Evan Mitzasim, the Nasara of Parshas Parah, I will remove the heart of stone, meaning the Yetzer Hara, from inside you, from your flesh, Vasati Lachem Leiv Basar, and instead I'll give you a heart of flesh. And right now we have a heart of stone, a Yetzer Hara, which is impervious to Kedusha, and Hashem is saying, I'm going to take that away and put in and implant a second Nefesh Alekis instead. Rapapa says, you have a clearer thing from the following pasuk, also in Yechezkel. The next pasuk continues, Ve'esruchi etzen b'kevachem, I will place my spirit within you, Ve'osisi et asher b'chukai telechu, and I will make it such that you follow my chukim. So you see, even more clearly from that pasuk, that Hashem is able, even now, to make it that we should keep the mitzvah, and therefore, we have a little bit of a leg to stand on the fact that Hashem hasn't done that yet.
Let me ask you a question. Hashem created us in his image, right?
Yes.
So we have a Yetzer Hara, that doesn't mean we have a Yetzer Hara.
Well, keep in mind, in Tanya, it talks about not so much a Yetzer Hara, I mean, it does, but more the Nefesh of Bahamas. The Nefesh of Bahamas is what powers the Yetzer Hara. The Nefesh of Bahamas is basically the selfish drive in a person, the one that's like an animal that looks out for itself. What do we have, the analog of that by Hashem? By Atmos himself, by Hashem himself, you have everything that's beyond good and bad and Tov and Ra and everything. Hashem is beyond all that. So yeah, so you have, there's room for a Nefesh of Bahamas to be nostalgic from there also through some sumim rabim ba'asumim, through throwing behind his back, so you know, okay, anyway. It means, in other words, that everything in the world comes from Hashem ultimately, and therefore, yes, the Yetzer Hara also comes from Hashem, but not in a direct way, more than indirect. Okay, so let's talk about that later. Let's go on.
Does Hashem himself?
I don't know. Let's talk about that later. Right now, we have a lot of ground to cover today. Okay. Also, another example of somebody who hurled accusations at Hashem is Moshe. Shenemar v'yispalo Moshe el Hashem. It says that Moshe davened to Hashem. I'll pick el Hashem al Hashem. Now, don't read el Hashem to Hashem, which would be the usual expression, but al Hashem meaning like against Hashem. How can we darshan that? Shekein dveir Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov kurim alfin einin or einin alfin. Because we find in the yeshiva of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, they would darshan things in such a way where they interchange aleph and ayin. They do, after all, sound somewhat alike. Now, what makes the Gemara Darshan that in the first place? Why not just keep a simple meaning? The Marsha says we're actually referring to the pasuk, not Vayispalel Moshe as El Hashem, as we have in front of us in the Gemara here, but rather Vayispalel El Hashem, where Moshe is telling in Parshas Ekev how he davened to Hashem after the Chet Ha'egel. And there you have that Moshe continues over there, that you have to forgive the Jewish people, otherwise the nations are going to say that you have no power, Chas V'Shalom. So that's Yitzchak Zvorim Kapamayelach, that's making demands of Hashem. Pnei Yeshua says that, no, we can stick with the pasuk we're quoting over here, Vayispalel Moshe El Hashem, which is in Parshas Bahaloska, because unlike every other place in Tanakh, in Chumash, where you find when it says that Moshe davened, it says the words that he davened, here it doesn't. It just says Vayispalel Moshe El Hashem. So therefore, the Gemara is justified in assuming that what he did is he took that, the people complaining to Moshe, and he turned around and brought those complaints to Hashem. And that was the substance of his tefillah, and therefore that's like hurling words and accusations against Hashem. Okay. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Yana, they said we have a different source for that idea, that Moshe accused Hashem, because you have the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Devarim, v'dizah, Moshe, on the simple meaning, Moshe is listing the various places where they camped during the years in the desert. Rashi over there explains that all of them are hints at various places where the Jewish people did Averis. And the last one on the list is v'dizah, which refers to the eagle, the gold of the eagle. So my v'dizah, what does that mean? Amid v'ei Rav Yanai, so they said in the yeshiva of Rav Yanai, what Moshe meant is like this, kach ama Moshe l'knei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shlom, b'shvil kesef v'zav she'ishpat alahem le'Yisrael, because of the huge amount of gold and silver that you bestowed on the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim and by the Yom Tov, ad she'amru di, to the point where they're saying enough, that's dizahav, who got them to also with the eagle. That's what caused, because they had too much wealth, therefore they made the eagle. So there we see that Moshe is like accusing Hashem of being complicit in it. If he hadn't given them all of that, then they wouldn't have been in that position. Amid ve'Rav Yanai, in fact, they also said in the Yeshiva Rav Yanai, as Ein Ari Noihim, a lion doesn't roar, as Rashi explains over here, roaring over here means, Sameach Mishtageya Umazeh, but it's happy and goes a little crazy and causes damage. So when does a lion do that? Not mitzvah kupah shel teben. Not if you give him a box full of, not if you give him a basket full of straw, ela mitzvah kupah shel basa, but rather if you give him a basket full of meat. Then he feels satisfied, and then he feels, then, you know, in English the expression is he's feeling his oats, and he starts getting a little wild. So the same way, Moshe is saying Hashem, because you gave the Jewish people so much gold and everything, that's what...
The Kabbalah was the goal for the Mishkan.
The Kabbalah was for the Mishkan, fine, but Moshe is saying Hashem, but on the other hand, you made it, so to speak, like you made it possible by giving them all of that. Okay, but that's what we're saying, that Moshe, he tiyachs v'arim klatamayla, that's exactly what we're saying, that Moshe is accusing Hashem, Moshe is hurling words at Hashem, that he made it possible to happen. That's fine. Yes, we understand that. That's why we're saying Moshe, he tiyachs v'arim klatamayla. Yes, that's exactly the point. Rav Oshia gives another marshal for it. It's like a person who had a cow that was skinny and you could see all of its limbs, you could see all of its bones. He was feeding it kaushinin, which is a type of bean that fattens up, is used to fatten up animals. And eventually it's kicking him. So he says, oh, look at that. What caused you that now you're kicking me? It was those beans. It was that good quality food that I ate you, that I gave to you to eat. So the same, again, in the Nimshal, the same thing. Because the Jewish people had all these riches, therefore that's what made them more self-confident and more ready to make the angel. Another analogy for it. Moshal Adam Echad Shahilai Ben, like a person, like a man who had a son, he bathed him and anointed him, he gave him to eat and to drink, he hung a purse full of coins around his neck, and now he made him sit by the entrance of a brothel where there are zonis. Mayaso, it's eventually yaso. What is that child supposed to do that he shouldn't sin when he has all the opportunity now and he's right there? So the same way, in other words, again, Hashem is Moshe saying, Hashem, look, you provided the Jewish people the opportunity and the means. Okay, why three different analogies? Ben Yehoyada says because they represent Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. Marashol also relates them to the psukim that we're going to quote now. This is like the expression that people say, Moli kreshe zomi bishi. When a person has a full stomach, those are various kinds of evils. In other words, when a person feels full, that's like a type of chet, because it tends to lead to it. When a person is full and satisfied, whenever, it tends to lead him to being able to do different kinds of avers. Kreite means a stomach. Molly kreite, when his stomach is full, zoni bishi, that those are various types of evils. Rashi says, milia keres humimini chatoim aroim. Filling up the stomach is one of the various types of bad chatoim, because it leads a person to, when a person is eating and is full, then it's more likely that he's going to go the wrong way. As you find the pasuk in Hesea that says, as they pastured, they were full, they were satisfied, they were satisfied and their heart was raised up, in other words, they started becoming proud, therefore they forgot me. So we see that the Navi is also saying the same thing, that when the Jewish people are fast and happy, then that's when there tend to be problems. Rav Nachman Amamehacha, the Rambam of Echad, the Shachachta of Hashem. Rav Nachman says, you have another prophet that says, your heart will be raised up, and, you know, you'll become proud, and you'll forget Hashem. But Rabbanon Amri Mehacha, the Rabbanon say, you have a different prophet, they will eat and be satisfied, and become fat, Ufana, and then they will turn away, from serving Hashem. The Boritema Mehacha, yet another one, you have a pasuk in Parashas Hazinu, Vayishvan Yishurun, Vayivat Yishurun, which is another name for the Jewish people, became fat and kicked. So we see from all these psukim that the Nisoyan of wealth and comfort is a very great Nisoyan. That's, you know, they talk about that's the Nisoyan of our generation. You know, in earlier generations, you had, you know, they're poor, they're being harassed constantly by the goyim or whatever, and their Nisoyan was, are they still going to keep faithful to Hashem under those conditions? Our Nisoyan in America nowadays is the other way around. Prosperity, the goyim respect us to a greater or lesser extent or whatever, and are we going to keep on the right path? Yeah, I mean, obviously, but nevertheless, we have to realize that we have to live as a challenge, which Hashem expects us to live up to. The fact that Hashem gives us a challenge means that Hashem gives us the choice to. Okay, Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yenis, and we nine Shachazir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vahoy Delo Moshe. Where do we see that Hashem ended up agreeing with Moshe? Moshe is saying this whole thing, this whole that you made it possible for the Jewish people to do Averis by giving them a lot of gold and silver and whatever, and therefore, yeah. So where do we see that Hashem actually agreed to that? Shenema, because you have a positive in Hosea. The chesed who based Elohim, the Navi says in Hashem's name, I gave them a lot of silver, the zahav osu labal, and they used their gold, loch actually is in the positive, the zahav osu labal, and they used their, to make Baal idols. So we see Hashem agrees, so to speak, like because they had all that gold and silver, that's what made it possible for them to go on the wrong path. Now that we talk about the Chet HaEgel, and we talk about how Moshe is, so to speak, accusing Hashem of being complicit in it, so now the Gemara is going to douse in some other psukim in that story of the Chet HaEgel. The pasuk says, after the Jewish people made the Egel, by Dabar Hashem Moshe Leich Reid, Hashem spoke to Moshe, and he said, go down. My Lech Reid. Now, what does Hashem mean by that? It can't, Mephoshim explained a couple of reasons why it doesn't just mean the simple meaning, go down from the mountain. One is because Hashem doesn't tell Moshe what he should do once he goes down. For example, in Parshas Yisro, Hashem tells Moshe, Lech Reid, and then, so usually Hashem would tell Moshe to go down. He would give him instructions what to do. Here Hashem doesn't tell him what to do. Another point is also because Hashem is using the word go down. Yeah. Also because Hashem is using, it's also because he uses the expression by Daber, which is an expression that Hashem is speaking to him sharply. So what does that mean? Amar of Allah, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Moshe Reid Megdulasa. It means Hashem is telling Moshe, go down from your greatness. What's the whole reason why I gave you greatness in the first place? Wasn't it only for the sake of the Jewish people? Now the Jewish people have done Averis. After Lomali, so what do I need you for? Or going to Bach gives a different gear to Lomalacha Gdula. What do you need the greatness for? Your greatness is for the sake of the Jewish people, and if they've sinned, then I'm gonna and they're gonna get the consequences. Then you also need to go down a level. This is Hashem saying to Moshe, Miyad Toshash Koychesh Moshe. Right away, Moshe's strength became weak. He had no strength to speak. The Kivin to Omar Heref Mimeni Bashmidim. Then, when Moshe is telling over the story at the end of the 40 years to the Jewish people, in Parshas Esav, he says that Hashem said to him, let go of me and let me destroy them. Omar Moshe, so now Moshe says to himself, oh, if Hashem is saying, let go of me, implying, like, I have the power to grab a hold of him and to prevent it. Omar Moshe, dogger the tolibi. That means that Hashem is saying, it's dependent on me. So right away, he stood up, strengthened himself with tefillah, and started asking Hashem for rachmanis. You actually see in the Pesukim in Parshas Kisita there, you have that first Hashem tells Moshe, Lech Reid, go down, the Jewish people have made an eagle, etc. And then it continues, Hashem says to Moshe, that, you know what, I've seen this people, they're very stiff-necked, therefore let me destroy them, and I'll start over with you. So the point, why is there a second Vayom over there? The point is, it's like we're saying over here in the Gemara, Moshe couldn't speak because he was so afraid that he didn't even know he has the ability to daven for the Jewish people. But then Hashem tells him in that passage, Hanichali, leave me alone, which as the Gemara is going to point out soon. Again, means, like, so to speak, Hashem is saying, you have the ability to prevent me. So leave me, if you leave me alone, then I'll do it. So Moshe understands, okay, that means Hashem is saying, I shouldn't leave him alone, and I have the power to do something, and therefore he starts davening, right? Chal Moshe. Okay. Then I'll destroy them, implying, in other words, so he realized that means that I shouldn't leave them alone. Yeah. Marshal Melech Shakas Abinoy, it's like a human king that got angry at his son. He was hitting him a lot. Meanwhile, the king's friend is sitting there in front of the king, and he's afraid to say anything to the king. Omer HaMelech, but then as the king is beating his son, he says to his son, if it weren't for my friend here that's sitting in front of me, I would have killed you. Omer, so now the friend realizes that the implicit message, Dover Zet Talibi. The king is implying by that it depends on me. And Miyan, Omer Vihitzila, and right away he gets up and saves him. So the same way, in the Nimshol, Moshe Rabbeinu, by Hashem saying, Hanichali, or Heref Mimeni, it means that Moshe realized that Hashem is hinting by that I have the ability to prevent this from happening. and therefore that, and therefore we started that.
So it's dead because of Moshe not doing it, basically.
Right, that's exactly right. That's the point. Then the pasuk says, "Va'ata hanicholi." In those psukim over there, in Parshas Kisisa, Hashem says to Moshe, "Now leave me alone." V'yichar afi b'hem v'achal. V'yichar afi b'hem. Let my anger flare against them. V'achalim, I will destroy them. As Hashem says to Moshe, "Ve'es oischol goy gadol b'emer, and I will make you into a great nation." So what's this hanicholi? Leave me alone, which makes it sound like he's grabbing a hold of him. Amar Abba. What does it mean? Yeah. If the pasuk weren't written like that, we never could have said such a thing on our own. It means metaphorically that. It means that Moshe, so to speak, is grabbing a hold of Hashem. Like when a person grabs somebody else by his clothing to ask him not to do something. And he says, I'm not going to let you go until you forgive and pardon them. So what does this mean, grabbing a hold of Hashem? Obviously, Hashem is a group, so obviously it's meant as a metaphor, and the Rashba over here talks about that at length, what it means metaphorically, but the Tzlach says actually what it means is, we know Alpich Siddus, we talk about that the midos of a person, and also Lahavdil, the midos of Hashem, are the Levushim, they're what the person clothes and vests their thoughts and whatever in the midos. So therefore, when we say that Moshe is, so to speak, grabbing a hold of Hashem's clothing, means he's grabbing a hold of Hashem's midos. He's saying, Hashem, instead, don't use your midah of Zvura right now. Use instead your midah of Chesed and Rachman to the Jewish people.
Yes,
that's fine. But that point is, and it was like when we say he's grabbing Hashem by the clothing, means by the midah. He's grabbing a hold. Atmos himself, Hashem himself, you can't grab a hold of. But Hashem's midah is something a little more. They're connected to Hashem. But nevertheless, there's still something that Moshe is able to grasp on to some extent. The pasuk continues that Hashem said to Moshe, "V'esta oischol."
Obviously, it's the level of Hashem that's way beyond.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. The pasuk says, "V'esta oischol goy gadol." Hashem continues to Moshe that, "Let me destroy them, and I'll make a great nation out of you." So, Amar Rav Elazar. So, what does Rav Elazar say? How did Moshe refute that argument? Amar Moshe, "Look, now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Uma Kiseh Shel Shalosh Raglayim Eni Yochalam Lefanecha B'Shas Kasta. Madach, a chair that's standing on three legs is not able to stand in front of you when you're angry." Meaning, the Jewish people are like a chair standing on three legs. Of course, of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and still you're ready to destroy them. How much more so if you have a nation descend from me, then it's going to be dependent only on me. It's like a chair with only one leg. So okay, Marshall says that actually, I mean, look, Moshe himself is a descendant of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, so in that sense, the chair will have four legs. But still, Moshe is saying, if a three-legged chair is not stable in front of you, a four-legged one is not going to be stable either. I don't have a three-legged chair. No, Moshe is saying, well, there's one more leg is not going to really help. One more leg, in other words, if we're going to say that the nation descending from me is going to be, its forefathers are going to be Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe, but still, if a three-legged chair can't stand, then a four-legged one is not going to either. In fact, if you think about it, a three-legged chair is more able to stand on uneven terrain or whatever than a four-legged one, if you think about it. But yeah. But in any case, other Mephoshim today, Yeshua and others talk about, but no, what we mean is, because in other words, if Hashem had destroyed the Jewish people at that point, Chas V'Shalom, it would mean he would have said, okay, the covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is over, and I'm starting a new covenant with Moshe, so it really would be a one-legged chair then. The loy oid, not only that, Moshe continues, davening to Hashem, Elisha Yeshvi, Boshas Panim, Yavosai. If you do that, you destroy the Jewish people and start over with me, then I'm going to be embarrassed in front of my ancestors, in front of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Achshav Yomu, now they're going to be saying, look at this leader that Hashem set up as a leader over the Jewish people. Bikish Dula L'Atzma, or he just looked out for greatness for himself, V'le Bikish Aleim Rachmim, and he didn't dive into Rachmim for them. So Moshe is saying, even if you don't want to forgive the Jewish people because you're angry at them, fine, but consider that I myself, so to speak, like my dignity is at stake over here. So, okay. Then the point. So yeah, then the discussion continues.
So that's
one of Moshe's arguments. Moshe spent 40 days davening to Hashem to forgive the Jewish people for the eagle. So obviously he used many different arguments and things. And Moshe's bringing an example.
Hashem's reason meaning it was because of Moshe he did it?
So well, there's a lot of reasons. Ultimately, Hashem says, Salak Kibberach, we'll see soon. Then the pasuk says, Vayichal Moshe es pnei Hashem. It says that Moshe vayichal to the face of Hashem. Now the word vayichal is kind of unusual. Usually vayisvalel or whatever. So the Gemara is going to douse in a number of possible meanings and a number of meanings in the word Vayichal. Amar Abulazar, Melamed, Amar Moshe, Betfilah, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shechalohu. From here we learn that that Moshe stood and davened in front of Hashem until Hechalohu. Hechalohu, Rashi translates, means that he begged him a great deal and nudged him like. Rashi uses a word over here that essentially translates to nudging a person. So Moshe davened to that extent. Marsha says that actually Hechalohu over here means like he talked to Hashem a little bit profanely, like a little bit of a lack of respect, as we said before. So Hechalohu, Moshe Cholin, in other words. So that's one meaning of it. Rava says it means that Moshe davened to Hashem until the point where, so to speak, he canceled Hashem's neder. And where do we see that in the word Bayichal? We have in Parshas Matos, it says a person is not allowed to violate his word if he made a neder. And we say, we learn from those words, that's where we learn the whole concept of Acharas Nedarim, that you can't cancel your own words, but somebody else can cancel them for you. So like this, so to speak, Hashem was Matur Neder. Moshe was Matur Neder for Hashem. Again, obviously, we don't mean in the literal sense. Again, this is one of those metaphorical Gemaras, but it's a way of expressing that Hashem accepted Moshe's arguments. But what does it mean when a person does Hataras Nedarim? What does it mean? The person comes in front of the Beis Din and he says, you know, I made such and such a neder. Had I known what the consequences of it all are, I never would have made the neder. And therefore, they're Matur Neder came on that basis. So, like, obviously, Hashem doesn't change his mind. That Hashem knows the future, but in other words, Hashem acted in this sense like a person who says, you know what, you pointed out some new factors that I wasn't aware of before. Obviously, Hashem was aware of them, but Hashem acted in that way, and so to speak, like allowed Moshe to be Matur Neder. That's another meaning of Vayichal. Shmuel says it teaches us that Moshe was ready to go on Mesirat Nefesh for them. Vayichal, Moloshin Cholol, of dead body. We find a few psukim later where Moshe says, if you don't forgive the Jewish people, erase me from your book. The book meaning, in other words, we usually understand it to mean the Torah, but it also means from the book of the living. Rashi mentions on the positive. It means from the book of take away my life. In other words, yes, we see that. Another explanation. We learn from this, from the word Vayichal, that he caused the midah of Rachmim to rest on them. Vayichal, therefore, Meloshin Chal, Meloshin Yachulu al Rosh Yoy. It means for something to land on top of, to rest on something. Like when we say, such as Yom Tov is Chal on Shabbos or whatever. It's the same thing. Rabbon and Amri, Melamed Shalom Moshe, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that Hashem told Moshe, Ribon Shalom, Chulin Hu Lachom, Me'asos Kadover Hazeh. It would be profane for you, it would be beneath you to do such a thing. We have a similar argument that Avram used to Hashem, Chalilo Lachom, Me'asos Kadover Hazeh, it would be profane, it would be beneath your dignity to punish the tzaddik with the Rasha. So according to this then, Moshe is using essentially the same argument to Hashem. That it would go against your kedusha of Hashem to just punish the whole Jewish people collectively. Then so we have a lot of different explanations of what it means by Vayichal Moshe. Then also when it says Vayichal Moshe Tnei Hashem Tanya, we learn in a brayta Rabbi Eliezer Gogolimer Melamed Shomad Moshe B'Tefila Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It means that Moshe stood and davened in front of Hashem to forgive them for the Chet Ha'Egel Ad Shachazatu Achilu, to the point where he was seized with Achilu. My achilu, what is achilu? Amar Rabbi Elazar, esh shalatzomis. It means a fire of the bones. My esh shalatzomis, Amar Rabbi esh tadigami, which is the same thing in Aramaic. Esh tadigami means the fire in the bones. So it means, in other words, so Rashi translates it with a French word that means like some kind of very high fever or something. So he was davening so much to Hashem, like he felt physically sick.
What's
his word? It is mulya or malvi or whatever. It means some kind of high fever. And in Lazi Rashi over here on the side, it translates it. It says Rashi uses the same word for kadachas, which means a fever. So like a fire that's felt in the bones of the person. So that he davened to that extent. The pasuk continues. Zechor l'Avraham. Actually, the Meshech Chochma has an interesting take on it. He says, that it also refers to the fact that Moshe himself realized that one day he's going to have a descendant. Moshe had a grandson who was the priest of Tetel Micha, described in Sefer Shoftim. So like he felt a fire in his own bones, like he felt in his own bones that I'm in that situation myself, the life the others are now, where one day I'm going to have descendants who are over Avodah Zarah. And that made him daven all the harder.
What's his name?
His name was Yehonasan.
He was a priest of
Mishnah. He was a priest of Micha's stature over there. He was a grandson of Moshe over there. Okay. The Pasuk says, in Moshe's Tefillah, he says, Zechor l'Avraham l'Yitzchok l'Yisrael avadecha asher nishbata lahem bach. The Pasuk, Moshe continues, and remember for Avraham, for Yitzchok and Yisrael, your servant, which you swore to them in you. So what does that mean, b'cha? Bach, my Bach, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Moshe l'pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe argued to Hashem like this. Rebbeinu Shlomo, Il mola nishbaita lehem b'shamayim v'aretz, if you had sworn to them by the heavens and the earth, ha'yisi omer, then I would say, okay, so that means it's not a permanent thing. Shem sh'shamayim v'aretz t'elim, the same way as heaven and earth eventually are going to be bottled. You have psukim in Yeshaya and other Nevi'im that talk about that la'asid lavai Hashem is going to recreate the heavens and the earth. So then I would say, okay, then it would mean that your promise also is able to be cancelled, is able to be nullified. But now, as Moshe says to Hashem, you swore to them with your great name. Your great name, Hashem, continues to exist forever and ever. The same way your Shavua in that name also has to exist forever, and you can't cancel it.
And Shemayim, he didn't.
Shemayim v'aretz. If Hashem had sworn by Shemayim v'aretz, then we would say that those eventually are going to be bought.
So he didn't
with his name. So instead, he did with his name. The pasuk continues. Moshe says to Hashem, "But the davar aleim aves darachem techos Hashemoyim. You spoke to them. I will increase your descendants like the stars of the heavens." It's Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'chol aretz hazoyt asher amarti. And then he continues, all the land which I said that I will give to them, then I'm going to give. So what do you mean, Hay Asher Marti? What does he mean that I said I will give? Asher Marta, by the way. Moshe is speaking to Hashem. Shouldn't he say Asher Marta? In other words, Marsha points out, we do have this, the first part of the pasuk, Arbes Barachim Zuchesh Hashemayim. We find promises in those exact words to the others, but we don't find the exact words to the others that Moshe is quoting in the continuation of the pasuk, where he says, and we don't actually find in the psukim the actual words etim lazarach and menachal olam. So here it sounds like Moshe is quoting what Hashem is saying, but he's not actually quoting verbatim what Hashem is saying. So it should be asher amarcha that you said. Amar Rav Elazar, you're right. Ad kan divrei talmid v'kan ve'elach divrei harav. What it is the first part of the pasuk about the davar aleihem aves darachem techos Hashemayim. That's the Talmud. That's Moshe davening to Hashem. The rest of the pasuk, the whole earth, as I said, shara marti mikan ve'elach divrei harav. That is Hashem responding to Moshe, saying, "You're right. I will do that, and the land which I promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to their descendants, I will in fact give it to them, and I won't destroy them. I'm accepting your tefillah." Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Talmud. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani says, "No, the whole pasuk is part of Moshe's tefillah. It's all the words of the Talmud." Ela Kach Amar Moshe l'Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that Moshe is saying to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Dvarim she'amarta li leich emor lahem liYisrael b'shmi. It means what's the amarti I said? It means Moshe is saying I said. It means the words that you told me to speak to the Jewish people in your name, halachti v'amarti lahem, I went and told them. B'shimcha, in your name. Now what am I going to be able to tell them? I'm going to have to tell them that now the promise is being taken away, is being canceled. So therefore, that's the Asher Amarti, so again, according to the first explanation, the Asher Amarti is Hashem responding to Moshe and saying, "You're right, the land which I promised, I will continue to do that, I won't destroy them." The second explanation is Moshe saying to Hashem, "I told them in your name, such and such, so now those shouldn't have to be violated." In fact, Mephoshim points out,
the
book of land that Hashem is going to give to the Jewish people. So in fact, Mephoshim points out, you have a very famous idea that the Rambam brings, that when Hashem gives an individual person a promise for good, it can be canceled because of Averus. We don't in the first parak, for example, that Yaakov is afraid when he's about to meet Esav because Shem Yigram Achet. But when Hashem tells it to a Navi to tell it to the Jewish people, then it will never be canceled. Because Hashem told it through the Navi, and because the difference is that if it were to then not become true, then we would never have a way of knowing who's a genuine Navi and who's not. So if Hashem makes a promise to a Navi for bad, then it doesn't necessarily have to come true because the people can do tshuva, or Hashem can have rachamim or whatever, like Yonah with Nineveh, but if it's a promise for good, it always has to come true. So that's Moshe's argument over here. Once it's a nevuah that you told me to tell the Jewish people, then you can't cancel it anymore because then that would that because then that, that would that would violate the way that Hashem works when he says something through the Navi. Right, right. The pulse would continue. Okay. But now, so then now we're going to move over to, you have after the Chet HaMeraglim in Parshas Shlach, Moshe is also davening on behalf of the Jewish people and using somewhat similar arguments. So there, the Pasuk says, Mibilti Yecholos Hashem. So Moshe is saying that the Goyim are going to say, because Hashem was not able to bring the Jewish people into Israel, therefore he destroyed them in the Midbar. So Nechachil Hashem. So the question is, Yochel Hashem, by the way. It should have said, because Hashem cannot. Yochel is Lashem Zachar. Yecholos in the feminine is Lashem the Kaver, it's Lashem the Kaver, but it's also, it's a noun rather than a verb. And that doesn't really go with Mibilti for the lack of. It should have said, Mibilti Yochel Hashem. Moshe should say that the Goyim will say, because Hashem is not able to, therefore such and such. Why mention the word Yecholos, ability, which is a noun and which is Lashem the Kaver, means Amar Abalaz, Amar Moshe, look now, Kodesh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, after your acts of Yomer Umas Olam, now if you destroy the Jewish people after the Chet HaMeraglim, the nations are going to say, Toshash Kodechik in the Kaver, the Eni Yochel Lahasel, that Hashem's strength became weak like a woman and he's not able to save the Jewish people, Chas HaShalom. The Rashma has a very long explanation over here, the gist of which is that the Goyim are going to take the view, if Hashem does that, that Hashem, they're going to take the view like this. We know every nation has their malach and shemayim, their sar, and their mazel and whatever, and sometimes they're up and sometimes they're down, and that's the nature of things in the world, is that sometimes one nation is higher and another nation is lower, and eventually it changes around. So they're going to...
This is also about the Jewish.
That's fine, but the point is, Moshe is arguing to Hashem like this. We know that the Jewish people are not like that. They're not under any sar or mazel or what have you. They're directly under Hashem. So therefore, so Moshe is arguing, if you don't save the Jewish people now, if you destroy them now in the Midbar, after the Chet Meraglim, the Goyim are going to think, you're like a Nekeva in the sense that a Nekeva is a Makabel, a Zohar is a Mashpia, he's the one who gives forth, the Nekeva is the recipient, so they're going to think, Chas V'Shalom, that you're just like all the other Sorim, you receive from some higher power, and therefore, as a recipient, sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. You have to demonstrate to them that, no, you're the Zohar, you're the male, you're the one who's Mashpia, and you're the one who's Mashpia to everybody else, and therefore that it can't change from time to time. It can't be that sometimes the Jewish people are going to be around and sometimes they're going to be destroyed. So that's what he means, Toshash Kochim Kimakeva, that he's arguing that then you're going to put yourself, like the Goyim are going to think, that you're just on the level of another national god, which receives from a higher power.
You're saying in a kid that receives strength from the god?
Yeah, what we're saying, yeah, in general, Chassidus always, we talk about that, the Zohar is Mashpia and the Kever is Makabel. So that's Moshe is arguing that you're going to make it, people are going to think, like you're like Chas V'Shalom, like all the other gods of the nation, that they receive from a higher source than themselves. Whereas you have to show that's not so. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, why would they say that? Didn't they already see the nisim and the strength and the strong things that I did for them by the Yam Tov? But Hashem says, but Moshe says still, Rabbi Shlomo, Adayin Yesh Lahem Loima, still, they would be able to make the excuse, L'melech Echad Yochalamed, sure, Hashem could stand up against one king, L'shloshim V'Echad Melechem, and Yochalamed, but he can't stand up against 31 kings in Canaan, in Eretz Canaan. And again, this goes with what we were saying, in other words, that if that were to happen, Chas V'Shalom, then the Goyim would say, okay, fine, so Hashem is like some other, like any other national god, Chas V'Shalom. So therefore, okay, you know, it's one thing to fight against and win against one other nation. Okay, it happens right now that he's more powerful than that other god. But against 31 of them, there's no way he could beat all of them. So therefore, yeah. From where do we see that Hashem ended up agreeing with Moshe? As the Pasuk says, the next Pasuk, Hashem says, I have forgiven like your words. Meaning, means exactly like what you said are the kind of arguments that Goyim are going to make if I don't save the Jewish people. That against one versus against 31, like that. So Ashrei Talmud Shirabe Moedavoy. So how fortunate is a Talmud whose Rebbe agrees with him that he's right? So like here, where Hashem, so to speak, agrees that Moshe is correct in his argument. Then the Pasuk continues. The next Pasuk, also in Parashat Shlach, Ulam Chai Oni. However, Hashem says, I am alive. Now, in context, the Pasuk is saying that Hashem is saying, I swear by my life that the Jewish people are going, eventually they will come into Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to spend 40 years in the desert. But why the expression, Ulam Chai Ani? Amar Rava, Amar Yitzchak Melamed, Sha'amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. It means that Hashem tells Moshe, Moshe, Hechisani B'dvarecha. Moshe, you have enlivened me with your words. You have made me alive in front of the nations with your words. So Rabbeinu Nissim, on the side of it here, has a very long and interesting explanation. He says, what does it mean? Moshe made Hashem alive. Chas v'shalom, Hashem isn't alive without Moshe. Rabbeinu, he says that even you have people who use that as an excuse to mock, to demean Hashem, to demean the Chachamim. How could they speak like that about Hashem? Basically, the gist of what he's saying is that this that we just said, that Moshe is saying to Hashem, the Goyim are going to think of you as weak and feminine and that you're a makabal, etc. So now when Moshe refuted that, and this way, all the nations are going to recognize that Hashem is the one in control of everything, it means that now Moshe demonstrated to the world at large that Hashem lives. That Hashem wasn't alive without that. But in other words, in the eyes and the estimation of the Goyim, Hashem, they could have thought that Hashem Chas v'Shalom is not alive, that he's like all the other deities, and now you've made me alive in front of them. Now all of them will realize that I'm alive and I have the independent power, which nothing else in the world does. So actually, Rabbeinu Nissen says, he gives this whole long explanation, as I said, and he says at the end, it's interesting, he says, this whole matter was very hidden. Hashem helped me to be able to reveal and understand it. I didn't see anyone before me who came up with this answer before me, what it means in our Gemara. Okay. A person should always first lay out the praises of Hashem and then daven, which we do in two ways. Number one, we say Stukhi de Zimra and the brachas before Krishna. And number two, we have the first three brachas of Shemana Esrei. Shenem, Minolam Mimosha. Where do we see that from Moshe? Moshe says, I pleaded with Hashem at that time to allow me to go into Eretz Yisrael. Uchtib, and how does he begin his tefillah? Hashem Elikim, Ata Chiloisa Laharis Et Abdecha, Et God Lecha, Ve'et Yodcha Chazaka. You, Hashem, have begun to show your servant your greatness and your powerful hand. Hashem Yikeil V'Shamayim V'Aretz, because what other power is there in heaven and earth, Hashem Yasech Ma'asecha V'Chigvaretzecha, that could do like what you do or like your strength. So that's the shvach of Hashem. And only after that does he get to what he's asking for his needs. Let me go over and see the good land of Eretz Yisrael. You see that this is in Parshas Baruch Hanan. What is davening to Hashem to allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael? So we see that first he mentioned the shvachim of Hashem, and then he began to daven. So we learned about this when we learned Masech Avodah Zarah. We talked about and here we talked about something where the Rashba mentions it over here in his explanation on the Agadah over here. Whenever you're asking somebody for something, there's always three things you have to consider. Number one, you have to consider: is there somebody else that I can ask? Is the person that is let me see. You see like this: does the person owe me this, or am I asking it to him as an unearned favor? Does he have the ability to do it? And is there anybody else that I could ask instead? We know by Hashem that all those three things. We know that anything Hashem gives us is chesed chinam. We don't deserve it. We know that Hashem is all-powerful. And we know there's nobody else we can ask other than Hashem. So those three themes are reflected in Moshe's tefillah over here, and they're also reflected in the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. We start out the first bracha mentioning chasdei avos, the kindness that Hashem did to the avos. So like we understand that everything that Hashem gives is only because Hashem decides to do good, not because we deserve it. And the second bracha, after giver, focuses on that Hashem has the ability to do whatever we want. And the third one, after Kaddish, is focusing that Hashem is the only one who has that ability. And even the malachim praise Hashem because they realize, as we were just saying now about Zohar and Nekeva, that they're dependent on Hashem. Once we have those three themes in mind, then we can go to davening the middle bracha. So the first three theme is that everything that Hashem gives us is not something that we earn. It's something Hashem gives us out of chesed. The second one, that Hashem has the power to do it, to do whatever it is that we're asking for. And the third one, that Hashem is the only one who has that ability.
Well, if he does it, he has the power.
No, well, in other words, sometimes you can ask somebody to do something, and yeah, he has the ability to do it, but he's saying, it's not my job, it's not my department, go ask somebody else. But we're saying, in davening, that with Hashem, it's not. Yeah. Okay. Simmons, not even willingness. Sometimes you can have it. It's tact and not my job. I have the ability to do it, but I would have to check with my supervisor or whatever. But Hashem, it's not like that. Simmons, Meissen, Dr. Corbin, Koyan, Tainus, Mino, Barzel. These are of Simmons keywords for each of the next few things that the Gemara is going to teach us. A bunch of things that Rabbi Lazar says. Gedola Tefila Yosef Meissen Tobin. Davening to Hashem is greater in accomplishing what a person needs more than Meissen Tobin. Because you don't have anybody greater in Meissen Tovim than Moshe Rabbeinu. After came my man, and it was Tefillah. And still, he was answered with his Tefillah. He was answered only when he davened. Meaning Tosfos says, in other words, you need both. You need Meissen Tovim and you need Tefillah. But Meissen Tovim by itself don't accomplish as much as Tefillah does. Because you see, only after Moshe davened, after came my man, and it was he was only answered with his request when he davened. Shanema, al Tosef daber Eli, as Hashem says to Moshe, don't continue speaking to me about this. And then the next process continues. Hashem says to Moshe, go up onto the mountain and you'll see Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains, the two stuck together. Meaning, Hashem is saying, because of your tefillah, I'm willing to give you something. I'm willing to give you this concession that you could go up to Har Nevo and see Eretz Yisrael. Whereas without he refused mentioning in Eretz Yisrael, but he's saying, because of your tefillah, I'm giving you that concession. So therefore, we see that all of Moshe's mice and chosen couldn't accomplish that, but it's tefillah could. The Amunabalaza, Gedola Tainis Yosef and Astaka. Another thing Rabbi Lazar says, again, this is directly related to what we were saying before, but it's another thing that Rabbi Lazar says, a fast is greater than Tzedakah. How can that be? Why my time is Zebed Gufa, the Zebed Mamon? Because one involves the person's goof and the other one involves his Mamon. And the goof is, now, you do have the famous thing that it says that Tzedikim, their Mamon is more important to them than their goof. You have the famous thing with Yaakov going back for the Pachim Kanim. But on the other hand, so Mephoshim explained over here, the slot explains, yes, that's true, but when we talk about sar, when we talk about trouble involving it, like over here, that's a tainus versus tzedakah, then the body is definitely greater than. But Amarabaz, Gedola Tefillah Yosef Min HaKorbanos. Also, Tefillah is greater than the Korbanos. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, it's in that third of Shabbos Chazon, Lama li roiv zivcheichem, Hashem says, what do I need all your korbanos? Uchtiv ufarizchem kapeichem. A couple of psukim later, it says, and even when you spread out your hands, meaning to daven, then I won't listen. So the point is, Rashi says, once Hashem is saying, I don't need your korbanos, then why have to mention tefillah? It shows that tefillah is greater. So you would think, okay, korbanos at that point Hashem doesn't want, but tefillah he's still willing to accept. No, Hashem is saying, even your tefillah. The Ion Yaakov explains a little differently. He says, in the Pasuk, Ufarizchem Kapechem, it also mentions Korbanos. It says, when you spread out your hands, Ufarizchem Kapechem, and Gam Kisaru Tefillah, even if you daven a lot, then I won't listen. So you see that even though davening a lot is a greater thing, nevertheless, Hashem is saying, under the current circumstances, I don't want to hear it. And incidentally, in this connection, since we're mentioning that topic, Rabbi Yechanan says, "Kol koyin shahara gafan nefesh, a koyin who killed somebody, lo yisar kapah, is not allowed to duchen. Shenema yedechem dami maleu, because that same topic continues, your hands are full of blood. Therefore, meaning in other words that a koyin who killed, his hands are full of blood. Hashem doesn't want Hashem doesn't want such a person to fully become kapeh. Yaakov, can you mute your phone, please? Okay. So a person that yedechem dami maleu, Hashem does not want his ufaris kam kapechem, his spreading out his hands to duchen. This halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Now you have the mechaber holds that even if the person did tshuva, he killed. The only way he would be mutter is if he killed Ba'onas, but somebody forced him to kill somebody else, which, okay, it's supposed to be Yehori Valyava, but let's say he didn't, then fine, you have a heter. The Ramah says that no, if he did tshuva, then you can't accept him to Duchen again. And he says this is a minhag. So you actually have it. So it becomes a thing between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. And you have Achronim talk whether a Koyan who killed, whether it was Sfardim would say that if a Koyan killed, even if he did tshuva, he can't Duchen again, whereas Ashkenazim would say that he could as long as he did tshuva. You actually have, there's a little bit of discussion about it among the Achronim, what happens, for example, they talk about a Kohen was a soldier in the Israeli army, for example, he killed Arabs, what's the din about that, what's the din, for example, about a Kohen who was involved in a car accident, and which caused somebody to be killed, Chas v'Shalom, so what are the din about that, so you have different discussions about that.
killing someone within the army when they...
So that's the acronym. Say, okay, you know, we're talking about killing a goy, an enemy of the Jewish people, so therefore it's not as serious. But as far as the car accident, Rabbi Loza also says, ever since the Beit Mikdash was destroyed, the gates of tefillah are locked. In other words, our tefillahs don't come up to Hashem as easy as they did before. As it says in Pasuk in Eicha, even when I scream out and I cry out, he closed up my tefillah. He shut out my tefillah. But, continues Rabbi Loza, even though the gates of tefillah are locked, but the gates through which tears come to Hashem, those were not locked. Yeah, which is tshuva and which is davening with tears. Yeah, shenema shima tefilas Hashem, and you have a pasuk in tefillah. Listen to my tefillah, Hashem, v'shabosi hazina, and then give ear to my groaning. Eldim osi al techash, to my tears do not be silent. So we see, since it doesn't say see my tears, that means automatically he doesn't even have to ask for such a scene before Hashem. They're automatically seen. All he has to ask for is that Hashem should accept them. In this connection, that we're saying that the gates of tefillah were locked ever since the Korban, Rava, like God, when it was a cloudy day, Rava would not declare a fast when they needed a fast for rain or for other disasters. Rava, when it was a cloudy day, he would know it's not a day that's mesugal that Hashem should accept our tefillah. Shenema, you have another pasuk in Eicha, Sakhoisa, but on and off, Me'avo tefillah. You have screened, you've covered up yourself with a cloud that our tefillah should not pass through. So one of the idea is when it's cloudy, then it shows, he says, that it means simon that our tefillahs are going to be less accepted. The other level, well, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. What it means, the phlemius, is another question, but then. Ever since the Churban, there's an iron wall separating between Hashem and between the Jewish people and Hashem. Hashem tells Yechezkel to ask out what's going to happen during the siege and the Churban of Yerushalayim. He tells him, take for yourself an iron pan and place it as an iron wall between you and the city. So in that action, Yechezkel is standing in for Hashem from Yahol. And the city represents the city. He had a brick that he made a picture of Yerushalayim on. So that represents what's going to happen with Yerushalayim. So we see that there's this iron. We see that there's this iron barrier between
iron curtain.
Yeah. Now, by the way, Marsha says that what we mean is that, again, it means as far as tefillah, that our tefillahs are less listened to. When it comes to praising Hashem, for example, Kedusha and Baruch Hu, there the Marsha quotes from a different Gemara that says even a mechitza shel barzel does not separate between the Jewish people and Shemayim and Hashem. So our praise of Hashem, so there's praise of Hashem, for example, when we say Omen Yehesh Meir Abba Yilara, versus davening. Yeah, and Shuvah also right, because he was right. If a person davens at length, his tefillah will not come back empty-handed. In other words, Hashem will listen to it and fulfill it. And we see that from Moshe. The pasuk says that Moshe says, I daven to Hashem. Hashem listened to me also at that time. So we see, daven at length and Hashem listened to him. So the question is, Aini, is that so? That if you daven at length, you're guaranteed that your tefillah is going to be listened to? If a person davens at length and delves into it and sinks into it, eventually he's going to come to heartache. Because what he's davening for is not necessarily going to be fulfilled. Because a pasuk in Mishlei says, a techelas, which is at length, is a sickness of the heart. Techelas, so actually explains, Moloshin Vayichal, like we learn in Amanav, so it means to plead with Hashem. Also, Marashar explains the word techelos also means a hope. So there was an extended hope makes a person sick. He hopes and expects that his tefillah is going to be accepted by Hashem, and it isn't necessarily.
The connection with the Chal and techelos is what?
Because it's the same church. So therefore,
same church.
So it means davening. Techelos and Marashar. Extended davening. It means vayichal. It means he pleaded. It means all the different explanations that we said on our alif. My takante, what's the takana for that? Yasa for Torah, the person should then learn Torah, should never have eight chaim tavabah, because the same pasuk in Mishlei continues, the tree of life, then the what the person desires comes. in Eitz Chaim al Torah, and Eitz Chaim al Yimachazikim, the Torah of the Tree of Life. In other words, one explanation is, if a person is seeing that he's davening and he's not being answered, let him learn Torah, and then he'll realize, why am I tefillah not being answered? Because I wasn't learning Torah properly until now. As we learned in the first parak, that a person sees Yisurim coming on him, and he can't find any other reason, he should realize it's because of Bittul Torah. Anyway, the point is that we see from that a person is davening at length in Ma'ayim Ba, then it's not necessarily going to be fulfilled. So the answer is, like, Kasha, how do Ma'arech Ma'ayim Ba, how do Ma'arech V'lay Ma'ayim Ba? It depends. Is he davening and also thinking into it and expecting, like, because I davened so long, therefore I'm going to be answered? Then he may be disappointed. How do Ma'arech V'lay Ma'ayim Ba, as opposed to if he davened at length, which is not think that much into it and doesn't, then it will be fulfilled. In other words, Tosfos points out there's two different kinds of Iyun Tefillah. We say every day in morning brachas, we say the Iyun Tefillah is one of the things that Adam Echol Peres saying, but Olam Hazeh. That Iyun Tefillah means having kavanah on the word, on Hashem, etc. That kind of Iyun Tefillah is a very good thing. The kind of Iyun Tefillah that we're talking about over here is a negative thing, is the kind where the person is davening and then expecting that because I daven, therefore what I wanted is going to be fulfilled. That kind of thing is not always, that kind of thing can end up being a disappointment. In this connection, if a person sees that he davened and he wasn't answered by Hashem, let him daven again. Hope to Hashem, let your heart be strengthened and vigorous, and hope to Hashem. So we see that you hope to Hashem, you daven, nothing happens, so you still daven again. Don't give up on it. We learn in a Braita that there are four things in life that need this kind of strengthening, that even if you didn't succeed the first time, you try again and again. The Elohim, Torah or Ma'asim Tovim, Tefillah v'Derechos. Torah or Ma'asim Tovim, Minayin, Shenema, because you have a pasuk in Yeshua. Rat Chazak, the Emes Moed, Hashem tells Moshe, Hashem tells Yeshua, only be stretched, strong and vigorous, very much. Lishmer v'lasis k'chola Torah. To keep and to do according to the whole Torah. So chazak b'Torah, be'emes b'masim tovim. So the word chazak means continue to learn Torah, and the word emes means be vigorous, means in ma'asim tovim. So we see that a person has to keep on trying on those. Tefillah minayin, shenema kaveh el Hashem chazak yamis b'chav kaveh el Hashem, as we just said. And derech eretz means like a person's work, which means Rashi says, depending if a person is a craftsman, a person is a merchant, a person is a soldier, whatever, each any kind of thing, he sees that it's not working, he has to keep on trying. As you have a passage in Shmuel where Yoav says to his fellow general, be strong and let us strengthen ourselves because of our people, etc. So we see, for example, their job is to be soldiers, and he's saying, even if we don't succeed the first time, we're going to keep on trying.
And the same goes for
Umnos. The same goes for Soicher, yes. Okay. Pasuk says, V'tremet Sion Azavani Hashem V'Hashem Shechon. Sion says, at the beginning of the Torah of Parshas Ekev, from Mishaya, that Sion, meaning the Jewish people, say, Hashem has abandoned me, V'Hashem Shechoni, and Hashem has forgotten me. So why the double expression? Hainu Azuva, Hainu Shkocha. Isn't abandoned and forgotten the same thing? Amr Shlokish, so the Shlokish says no. It means like this. Amr Knechis Yisrael of Knechis Baruch Hu. Means the Jewish people are saying to Hashem like this. Ribbon Shalom, Adam Noise Ishal Ishda Rishoina. When a human being marries a second wife in addition to his first wife, okay, Zosha Maisa Rishoina. Fine, it's like now he set the second one aside a little bit. She is, to a certain extent, Azuba, but she's not totally Shlucha. She's not forgotten. No, the first one. She's not totally forgotten. He at least remembers what the first one did. Ata Azaptani or Shachtani. Me, you seem to have abandoned and forgotten altogether. So what's going on? Hashem says to the Jewish people, listen, my daughter, let me tell you how important you are to me. Yudbeis mazolis barasi barakia. I created 12 mazolis in the heaven, the 12 constellations. Each mazol has 30 army units in it. Within each mat, you have 30 legions. These are smaller and smaller units in an army. Like nowadays, you know, you have a company and a battalion and a corps and whatever. For each legion, there's 30 rastern. Each gastra has in it 365 times 1,000 stars. That's just in each gastra. Then you have three. You have, no, that's not a guzma. There's a lot of stars out there. Well, that corresponds to the number of days in the solar year. So by the way, if you multiply all these numbers that the Gemara is giving here together, you come up with like 10 to the 18th power. There are a huge number of stars in the known universe. Yeah. So all of that, the Cholam Leibarasi El B'Shvilech, all of them, Hashem is saying, I created only for your sake. You're saying that I abandoned you and I forgot you.
Hashem created
everything. All the legions in the skies, all the faith, the Jewish people, yeah. The pasuk continues, yeah, because for one thing, each of them has ashpa on the world, the gashmius or beruchnius, as the case may be. Each of the stars, each of the constellations, whatever, has a certain effect in the world, and all of those effects are for the sake of the Jewish people. Yeah. So he continues in the pasuk, hasishkach isha ula. The next pasuk continues. Hashem says, can a woman forget her baby? But the Gemara is dashing the word ula, meloshin oila. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, klum eshkach oilas elim or pitri rechomim sheikrapti lefanev amidbar. How could I forget the oilas of rams and the firstborn children that you were makliv to me in the desert? The children are makliv, obviously, you do pity and abend. But the point is, in other words, that because of the expression in the pasuk is, hafishkach isha ula meirachem ben bitna, her child from the womb. So we see that the pasuk is referring to two different things. So the Gemara is explaining that it refers to the oilus that they offer in the desert and the bechorim that they consecrated to Hashem in the desert. So I could never forget those. Amir lefanav. So the Jewish people then say to Hashem, Ribono Shelolam, Toyu ve'in shikol lefnei chisei kisekvedecha. Given that there's no forgetting in front of your kisei hakavod, you never forget anything. Shema leishishkach lemaisa ha'egel. Maybe you also won't forget what I did with the eagle, and then I'm in trouble. So he says, no, the pasuk continues, Gam Eila Tishkachma. Also, Eila can be forgotten. Eila, meaning when the Jewish people made the Eagle and said, Eila Elekacha Yisrael. Okay, so now we see there is a certain forgetting in front of Kisek Vedecha. You're ready to forget the Eagle. Shema Tishkach Limaita Sinai. Maybe you're going to forget how I accepted the Torah on Har Sinai and not credit me with it. Amalah, so he finishes also pasuk, but Anoichi Lo Yashkafesh. Anoichi will not forget you. Anoichi, meaning by Mountain Torah. When Hashem started off, Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, and we accepted the Torah. Behind the Amr of Oza Amr Bersha, Amr Bersha, my dichtiv gam eila sishkachna. What does it mean? This pasuk gam eila sishkachna va Anoichi lo yashkafet. That's what it means. Gam eila sishkachna zem maiter ego. I mean, Hashem is saying, I will forget la'asid lover the matter of the ego. But Anoichi lo yashkafet zem maiter sinai. Then Hashem says, I will never forget that you accepted the Torah at Har Sinai and said, Master Mishkach.